Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, we're in the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We found out last week there's a miracle birth that happens in the first of, that is told about in the first of Luke. In fact, there are two that are told about in the first of Luke. The first one was John. Now we get to the second one, Luke, the first chapter, in verse 26. Luke, the first chapter, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. Join with me for another moment of prayer. Father, I pray that you would draw our attention to your word. Father, I know that these are familiar words, but Father, let us not pass by them. Let us learn from them. Teach us the people you want us to be, and exalt Jesus this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, Dr. Luke moves very quickly to tell us about an amazing woman. Her name is Mary. Now, Mary is a very common name. In fact, it's the most common woman's name of all time. How many Marys do we have in the room? Well, we have several. And so... the Bible talks about several Marys. In fact, in Luke's gospel, there are six Marys. Can you name them? Mary. Yeah. They're all called Mary. There is Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, Mary, the mother of James the Younger, Mary, the mother of John Mark, and Mary of Rome. But the Mary in this passage is Mary who will be the mother of Jesus. She's mentioned 12 times in the gospel. There have been a lot of controversies surrounding this Mary. Let me tell you real quickly, none of them come from her. None of them come from the Bible. The controversies about Mary all come from where people have left the Bible. Some in the world make too much of Mary. Some make too little of Mary. Some have come to worship her. Now, the great danger here is that the one you worship instead of God will become the God you worship. The great problem comes from a result of individuals raising Mary above the place where she should be and from where God intended. Some churches and individuals have come up with a belief system that have elevated Mary to an equality with God. To put it simply, some who honestly wanted to exalt Mary and honor Mary have gone far beyond what God has prescribed for anyone. Those who really wanted to do honor to her have raised her to the level of being a false god. Now, when we as Baptists hear the term Immaculate Conception, it's a big term, but if you've been around church for a while, you should know what that means. That means that Jesus was born by a miracle. He was born without sin. God made that happen. It was a miracle of God. Many have taken that term that only applies to Jesus scripturally, and they started to apply that term to Mary, and they have said that Mary was immaculately conceived herself. Now, that came from Pope Pius IX in 1854. It was not in the beginning. It was not in the text of Scripture when it was written. It was not in the text of the Bible at all. Mariology, the study of Mary, goes further. It teaches that Mary not only was born without sin, but she lived without sin. And in fact, she died. She didn't really die. She ascended into heaven, just as Jesus ascended into heaven. Now, people that teach this have left God's word. And I share this with you to get you to understand we should live by the book. And we should be taught by the book. We don't have the right to make up our own book. And so many who have left God's word and have centered in on Mary have taken something that is good and moved it to something that is not. Mary then has become to be a conduit for many to pray. And so people pray to Mary. Well, Mary's not alone. People have picked other people that have died in the Lord. Saints, as we are called. In fact, you're a saint, by the way, if you know Jesus as your Savior. But they have picked certain saints, and they pray to the saint. And they pray to Mary. Have you ever heard of a rosary or seen a rosary? A bunch of beads or cords that are knotted. There are several groups that use rosaries, but in the Catholic Church, they use a rosary. And there's nothing wrong with something to remind you in your prayer. There really is nothing wrong with that. But the rosary itself is a prayer to Mary. Now, in content, it is meant to elevate Jesus. But the prayer is offered to Mary. And so what was meant for good goes off base. The Mass is a prayer to Mary. Even though it exalts Jesus, it's a prayer to Mary. The thought is that before the throne of God and before the throne of Jesus, there is a throne for Mary, and you go through Mary, and if you could go through with your prayers to Mary, she knows Jesus really well, and she can get your prayers answered. And so there is that misstep that elevates Mary. Now, what I've shared is largely taught in the Catholic Church, and I want to be clear. There are many, many, many wonderful, godly Christian people that are in the Catholic Church. But people that know Jesus in the Catholic Church come to Jesus just like you do in the Baptist Church or in the Presbyterian Church or any other church. You come by faith in Christ alone. Catholics have some wonderful ceremonies, some beautiful rituals. Unfortunately, there are some that have raised Mary and they have given her the title co-redemptrix. Now, Jesus is our Redeemer. He is our only Redeemer. You can only be saved through Jesus himself. But there are some that have said that Mary can save you as well. Well-meaning people moved off base of Scripture, beginning to follow a pattern that God has never intended. And let me be quick to say that co-redeemer thing, there are people in the Catholic Church that have said that. In fact, it came from a pope in 1950 that she became co-redemptrix. Pope Francis, the present pope, has said that is foolishness. So understand that because some in the Catholic Church may have gone off base, and a lot of Baptists go off base, there are those in the Catholic Church that understand this is not the case. But understand, you need to understand that we should respect Mary. We should thank God for the Catholic Church when they raise up Jesus. There is no greater opponent to abortion and the killing of the unborn child than the Catholic Church. We should be grateful to them. But we cannot support a view of Mary or any other individual, any other person called a saint that elevates them above what God's Word says. Now, there is another side to this story. While some make a mistake of elevating Mary too high, others try to keep Mary too low. And when we talk about those that try to keep Mary too low, that comes home because that's mainly in our Baptist world. Some want to say Merry Christmas, and some don't want to have Mary and Christmas at all. We're going to look through this passage, and we're going to see that there is a reason to honor and respect Mary. There's a reason you can learn from her. Learn from her faith. Learn from her courage. Learn from how she follows the Lord. In verse 26 and 27, we see Mary's counsel. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel of God, the angel Gabriel, comes down and he visits Mary. This is the sixth month. Now, in the first of our reading and our study, we saw the angel come to Zacharias to tell him of the birth of his son, which would be a miracle birth. It has been 6 months now. Elizabeth has been pregnant for 6 months by a miracle of God in her old age. We said that she was old, stricken in years. If you've been living long enough, you know that you can be stricken in years. And so it was a move of God that Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, would have a child. Now, John would be the forerunner of the Messiah. Now, Gabriel means strength of God. Whenever he appears, he is given God's strength. And so in this appearance, he's pointing to the strength God's going to give to Mary. He has been called an archangel. Ever heard Gabriel been called an archangel? You know who else is called an archangel? Michael. You know who's called an archangel in the Bible? Nobody. That's not a biblical term. You want to find the name archangel, you have to go to the book of Tobit. Don't spend a lot of time there. There's not a lot that'll help you. But in the Bible, there are no archangels. They're just angels. And this angel is named Gabriel. Gabriel's one of two mentioned in the Bible. Michael's the other. Gabriel appeared to Daniel to explain prophecy about the Messiah. He brings good news that Jesus is going to come. He reveals the birth of John the Baptist. And now he's going to let Mary in on her great surprise. Oh, what a message. What a strength he is giving, living up to his name. Another thing we know about Gabriel is when he shows up, most people get afraid. I don't blame anybody for that. I think that it might happen to me. If I had an angel immediately appear before me, it might make me a little nervous. But if we follow through the scripture, we know that when he appeared to Daniel, Daniel was frightened. When he appeared to Zacharias, Zacharias was frightened. When he appears to Mary, she has a different reaction. She apparently showed no fear at the appearance of this angel. She did show some troubling by what the angel said. The angel appeared to Mary and told her that she was that she was being honored by God, that she was highly favored by God. And Mary didn't think she was worth that. She was troubled at his saying. The angel came to Nazareth. David Jeremiah says that the remarkable thing about Nazareth is that Nazareth is remarkably unremarkable. It is a place in the area of in the area of Israel called Galilee. It is about 55 miles north of Jerusalem. It is a place where there's a lot of grain. It was a place where there was a military base, and with military bases, a lot of times a lot of vice springs up, and so that was the case even back in that day. And so if you thought of Nazareth, you thought of a place that had prostitution, slavery, and drugs. You didn't really think of a holy place. Now, Mary is growing up in this place that is known for more corrupt things than spiritual things, and Mary decides she's not going to be tainted by where she lives. It's amazing. You know, today you talk to people about their sins and about their addictions and about all those kinds of things, and they'll blame it on how they grew up, and they'll blame it around the society that they're in. Well, Mary was in a rough society, but she decided she was going to live purely. So you can decide to live for Jesus no matter what your surroundings are. You can do it God's way no matter what the world's way is telling you. And so here is Mary. She's in Nazareth, and she's decided she's going to live for God. Gabriel was on a specific mission to a specific person in a specific place. In verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, she's called a virgin. That means someone who has never been intimate with a man, someone who has never had sexual relations, and that was her state. Both Mary and Joseph were in the line of the king of King David. The Messiah would be born in the line of King David. They were engaged. Now, being engaged in that day was different than being engaged in our day. When you were engaged, you were official. You were an item, but you weren't an item that could walk away from each other. You were an item that would have to have a divorce in order to separate. And so engagement itself was a strong binding moment in a couple's lives. They were engaged. They were legally bound. Mary was a young woman. How young was she? Well, we don't really know, but we believe 14 to 16. In our world, that's incredibly, incredibly young. In their world, it was the normal age for people to enter marriage. In verse 28, look what he says to Mary. Hail you that are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Think about it. Out of all the women that were alive, Mary was picked. Out of all the women that were alive since Eve, Mary was picked. It's bigger than that. God has knowledge of everything of all times at one time. So out of all the women who had ever lived, was living, or will ever live, God picked Mary. You get the idea? She was special. She was special, but she didn't deserve what took place. You see, Mary's being chosen is directly tied to the grace of God. Grace is when God does for us that which we cannot do ourselves and we cannot earn. The scripture literally says in the Greek, grace, Mary, you are highly graced. God is pouring His grace on her to allow her to be the conduit through which Jesus would be born. If you don't know Jesus today, if you are lost, if you have sin in your life, there is nothing in you that would make you worthy to know God. But God gives grace. And God gives you the ability to respond to Jesus. And God gives you the ability to have Jesus come into your heart and to save your soul. So here God is pouring His grace on Mary. The angel says in verse 20, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor or grace with God." It's the grace of God that can chase away your fears. I don't know what you're afraid of today, but God's grace can get you through. God's grace can hold you up. Gabriel tells her she would conceive and have a son. That son would be named Jesus. He will be the Son of the Highest. There's no mistake. He will be the Son of God. He will have the throne of His father David. That is talking about the millennial reign of Jesus. And He will reign on this earth on the throne of David. All Jewish girls at that time, all Jewish girls would think, "Could I be the one?" They would pray that they might be the one through which the Messiah would come. And now the angel has come to Mary. This is not going to be an ordinary child. This is not going to be an ordinary birth. The child would be the Son of God, the Savior. And in the second coming, sit on the throne. All those things would come true. Mary had counsel. Then we see Mary's confusion in verse 34. "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Unlike Zechariah doubted he and his wife would be able to have a child in their advanced age. So he doubted their ability to bring about this child. Mary's words indicate she's confused at the how this could happen. Mary knows something that a lot of people don't understand today. She understands biology. She understands that in God's design, a male and a female come together, and in coming together, they produce a child. It does not happen with a male and a male. It does not happen with a female and a female. Mary knew those things. And so she's just kind of, "You know, I know what I've done in my life. I know I have never had sexual relations with anybody. How could I have a child?" Now, if you follow through the scriptures, if you read over in Matthew, you will see a testament that comes from Joseph. Joseph knew that he had never had relations with Mary. So Joseph knew he had never had relations with Mary. Mary knew she had not had relations with anybody. And so Mary she's not doubting the angel's word. She just doesn't understand how it can happen. This would be a biological miracle, a spiritual miracle. Jesus would be born with a human mother, but not with a human father. He would be born with a different DNA, that he might be born without sin. Why would he not have a human father? All women will tell you the sin nature comes through the male. Okay? And so he would be born without a human father. He would be born with a heavenly father. And that was so that he would be born without sin and born without a sin nature. Had Jesus been born with a sin nature, then Jesus would have sinned. Had Jesus sinned, he could not be our sacrifice, and we are all doomed. Don't let anybody ever tell you the virgin birth is not important. It is vital. It is vital. So Gabriel explains that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and she would become pregnant and the child would be the Messiah of promise, the Savior, Jesus. God would give her all she needed to have faith. You know, she was here. She was trying to figure it out. She didn't understand it. Biologically, it didn't compute. She just was trying to trust God, believe, and understand how hard this had to be for her to believe. But she was believing. But God had something planned out for her. What could God do for her that would make her believe it was going to be okay and she was going to be able to have a child without a man? She had a cousin. Now, her cousin was old. I don't mean she was just old. She was stricken in years. If you'll remember when we said that, we put her about 80. And so, she was well stricken in years. Remember, Zechariah said, I'm old, but she's well stricken in years. I don't know about your family or your neighborhood, but I doubt that you know a lot of 80-year-olds that have children. And so Mary hears that Elizabeth, her old, barren, never had a child, cousin, was pregnant. Now, not only was she pregnant, it's the sixth month. She's way pregnant, okay? It's the sixth month. She's showing. It's the sixth month. She's not pregnant and losing a child. She's pregnant and having a child. And so Mary can instantly know that the only way Elizabeth could have a child is the move of God, and it would be a move of God that would give her a child. And so God gives you what you need to be able to believe. And my friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, God has laid out everything you need to be able to believe. You just need to be able to believe. You need to believe. You need to say yes to Jesus. Gabriel was letting her know that God was in the miracle-working business. There was a real-life miracle going on in with her cousin. There would be a real-life miracle going on with her. There could be a real-life miracle going on with you. You might be sitting here today and you might be saying, well, how could I change? How could I come to Jesus? I know how bad I am. How in the world can that happen? Well, the same way this happened for Mary. The angel tells us how in verse 37. For with God, nothing is impossible. That's the only way a sinner like me could ever hope to go to heaven. For with God, nothing is impossible. And the same could happen for you. So we get to Mary's commitment in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Behold, I am the lowest servant possible, but I will be that servant. Be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed. He went back to heaven saying, God, we're going to have a baby. And all of heaven is rejoicing. Listen, this is why you should respect Mary. Not because she was a young girl, not because she was from Nazareth. You should respect Mary because she believed God and she committed herself to what God wanted. Listen, if you will just start believing God, if you will put your trust in His Word, if you will accept what God has already said and apply it to your life, you know, just committing yourself to that will make a difference in every day. Committing yourself will not only make a difference in this life, but when you breathe your last, my friend, it will make a difference because you breathe your last here and close your eyes and you open your eyes to Jesus. All because Jesus makes it possible. How? Because nothing's impossible with God. She bowed down to her Lord and her God. Are you willing to bow down to the Lord? Are you willing to accept Jesus as your God? See, Jesus was born by a miracle so that he could live without sin and so that he could die on a cross for your sins and for mine. Mary didn't deserve to be the mother of Jesus. I certainly did not deserve Jesus to die on a cross. And yet God loves us so, He was willing. That is Christmas. That's what God offers you today. A new life, hope, peace, a future that is secure in His heaven, all with Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus, would you accept Him? Would you invite Him into your heart? Would you allow Him to forgive your sins and to save your soul? Would you at least be like Mary and say, I'm willing to do whatever God desires? If you're a believer, you know the Lord is your Savior. Shouldn't you be willing to put your faith where Mary put her faith and just trust God's word and commit yourself to it? You know, the results for Mary was she had a marvelous, marvelous experience. The beauty of a miracle child, seeing Jesus, watching Jesus, and as we will see later, accepting Jesus as her Lord and Savior. That's where hope is. That's where peace is. That's where your heart needs to be. Will you let Jesus be your Lord? If you've never met Him, just come down and say, I want Jesus. I know what that means. T.O. knows what that means. We'll pray with you. Jesus will come into your heart. You already know Him. It's time to commit yourself to His will. There's somebody you know that needs to know Him, and you're the messenger. Let's stand for prayer. Father, right now I ask that You would move within our hearts. Oh Lord, draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, there are those listening that have never invited Jesus to be their Savior. Father, if Mary could say yes to Jesus, certainly we could say yes to Jesus. If God could work a miracle in her life, God can work a miracle in our lives, and it all comes through Jesus. And I pray, God, that that would happen this very moment. And Father, we ask for believers that we would commit ourselves to Your word, to accomplish Your will, to see Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we sing, would you come?